Just a reminder, as we continue on in this series around the Citadel, you know, we say Citadel, but it really is more than just Citadel. It's Citadel and City Gate and City Life. We kind of preaching specifically around the Citadel and the architecture, but it, I think some people are finding it a little bit confusing, and we're taking time out to really give enough time to get through all of what this vision is, so that number one, there is some clarity. I really pray in the season ahead, in the next couple of weeks, we will have some clarity around what we mean when we're talking about this. That also, that as I've said, we're praying through that team that would begin to actively take this vision forward, and that we would start really investing. We have already invested in this vision, but even in a very real way, begin investing into it. And there is a sense that there might be a step in the journey in another building as we continue to expand what is already happening here at the Citadel. There is a sense that there might be another step before this big building that we've been praying and preaching about and trusting God for. He knows. He knows. Again, to say, as I did last week, there are four foundations that we feel that this is built around. It's missional, it's communal, it's sustainable, and it's a platform. And this morning I will be speaking around the mission. But I also spoke a little bit about how we structure it, and I'm just kind of going over these things again intentionally so that there's clarity. The structure is that Citadel is a PTY Limited owned by City Life, which is an NPO with a specific ministry to the poor and to bless the city. So the profits, if we do anything profitable and there are businesses that are profitable, they are actually, the profits can go to really help administer to the city and to the poor specifically, with the church right in the middle, which is you and me discipling and finding our groove wherever that may be. And I'm going to talk a lot about that this morning. You may find yourself leaning towards business and the Citadel. Maybe you find yourself leaning like Rosie Caldwell to minister to the ladies in the night, and then you would find more grace and you would find a vehicle in City Life. And so this is what we're going to be unpacking. And then maybe you are struggling just to connect with this vision. I mean, I talked to some guys in the week and they say, what about the poor? Mark, this is all about business. So that's why I just said, give us some time just to fully unpack this. This is not just about business. This is very strategic, I feel, what God is laying on our hearts around the world as well. But if you are struggling with this, let me say a few things, but I just want to make one correction from last week. I mentioned Martin Luther last week and his influence in the Renaissance. That wasn't exactly right. Martin Luther's influence was a huge part of the Reformation, which dovetailed with the Renaissance. And the Reformation in the church really spoke into some real problems that the Catholic, especially at the Catholic Church, where they were preaching purgatory, they were preaching a false religion in some ways, where they were making people kind of pay for their sins, and Martin Luther had this great revelation that we saved by grace, but also that he preached that the priesthood of all believers, that actually Jesus lived inside of all of us, and there was this papal kind of control that guys had over the priesthood and over God's word, which was never what the Holy Spirit want to do. But yet we sit 500 years later, and I still think we're trying to outwork this. So if you've got to understand that the church is like in the 1500s and in the Renaissance, there was reformation in the church, and we mustn't be surprised that we must continue to fight for that. And fight for that, and that sometimes means change. And so we got to be open to that. So if you're struggling to understand this big vision and this big building, let me just say one or two things quickly for you. First of all, that God's plans, he says that he has more for us than we can think or imagine. And his plans for us are bigger than we can imagine. So even if you're battling to connect with this building, know this for yourself, that God has a plan for you that's way bigger than you can imagine. And start just understanding that. Help this vision minister to you in your personal life, that actually my life is more, even though it doesn't feel like that, actually God has a plan for my life. Secondly, that God wants to see our lives is significant, and that the business that you're in and your skill set is significant. Your what you do in your day needs to be missional. So I hope you see that, because we're going to speak about what we do in business. And you say, well, why are you speaking about business at the Citadel? Well, I want you to hear, even if you don't understand that what you do on a daily basis needs to be missional. even if you don't find yourself out working your business in the Citadel or within this church ministry, church architecture, but what you do, you've got to find what, you know, how that connects to the God plan in what you do on a daily basis. I also trust that you really, in this season, realize that there's a skill that God's given you to, and that you're serving God in your skill, number one. That you're serving, that your skill is being utilized in a family, number two. Your skill is not just for you and somebody else. It's actually God gave you a skill to minister, to serve people. He also wants you to use that skill in a family. We've got Christian and Sam and all of us here today that have got many skills, but they're serving in a family. And then thirdly, that are your skills also being used to serve the poor? Which is something that we're going to be preaching a lot about around the Citadel series. And lastly, to say that just be aware that mindsets do need to change. We have been born with mindsets. One of the huge mindsets is this sacred and secular mindset that is still pervasive in the church. You kind of put yourself in a box. Okay, now I'm at work, that's work. Now I'm at church, that's church. Now I'm spiritual here, but I'm not spiritual there. That is a wrong mindset. It is wrong on every single level. So help yourself and break that secular, sacred mindset. And it was so, and that's why Martin Luther fought so hard against even what was happening at the time, because people saw churches this separate part of their life. And a lot of that came from some of the Greek thinking, Andreas Kutsuda, some of the Greek unhelpful thinking about how to know. We actually called to be more Hebrew in our thinking, which is very like the Italians, more Hebrew. Andreas, just that you get that. Anyway, so this morning we are speaking into the mission. There are four legs to this: the mission, sustainability, the platform, and then the community, radical community. But I want to speak about the mission. And isn't that, perhaps all of these legs are so significant. But first of all, we are on mission. And what does that mean? We know this. You've heard this many times, that Jesus, he commissioned us. He radically commissioned us to make disciples. And we know, and we've spoken a lot about that, that disciples are made around a dining room table. That's why it's significant that the Citadel lands in a dining room table. Because as Jesus taught us, disciples are made in small groups, and he demonstrated to us. And then we see Paul and in the epistles taking that forward, where we see disciple-making families, which is the church. It's all these small groups of disciples, but they kind of gather together with some kind of structure, and we call that the church. That's the church. That's why we say we're a bunch of small families that meet on a Sunday rather than a corporate gathering on Sunday that sometimes meets in each other's homes. We emphasize, actually, that you need to be in a small group. But what we also see in Scripture, and even in the New Testament, is the strategic way and ability that is enabled through a larger group of people meeting together. Yes, you have your small group, but there's also strategic ability in a larger group of people pooling resources and coming together to affect change in the situation and influence change where they are. And this was no more profound than in the Old Testament with David and Solomon. And we see how David fought so hard. What did he fight for? What was David? David was a man after God's own heart. What's God's heart? It's love. What is love? Unity. What David fought for with amazing heart was for unity. And we see as David began to rally Israel around his incredible courage and love for God, so he brought a nation together. And as that nation came together, they started defeating the enemies around them. And then we see David then passing the baton on to his son Solomon. And let's not go, but we know even the fight that took. Always aware that the enemy wants to disrupt what God's doing. So we need to be always aware when we start to fight for these things that the enemy's going to come against it. Yet Solomon then reigns in Israel. And we see that Solomon had this grace to administer resource with the grace of the Spirit with incredible wisdom, and how Israel absolutely flourished, and how the Queen of Sheba came and said, I need to see what it looks like for the kingdom of heaven to come to earth. And so with that in mind, with these things in mind, if this is what Solomon could do, I just say to myself, how much more all of us with the full revelation of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us and communal intelligence to dream together to land something that can radically influence the environment in which we live. And that is what we are preaching about so passionately in this series, is that yes, we disciple around the dining room table, but there are some amazing things we can do, architecture being such a big part of that, so that we can radically influence the environments, just like Solomon did and just like they did even in the New Testament with the churches. That's why they gathered in bigger gatherings, so that they could help the poor and so that they could influence the environments that they were in. And I want to say that I'm also aware, as I have read about this and thought about this, of the criticisms, the criticisms even today against the corporate church. I've read Pagan Christianity and I've read Reimagining the Church by Frank Viola. And so I'm aware of some of the criticisms, and we know that that some of the messages, the wealth, the what do you call that message, Christoph, the prosperity message, is unhelpful. I'm aware of that, but we can't now just throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, well, we must all just be in small groups. Yes, so I've read about that, but the book that I've most read, that has most influenced my understanding, is the Bible. I don't even have time to read another book at this stage. I'm honestly, personally, I've seen this in the Bible. God has given me a revelation of architecture and nobody else. And I do want to say, as we then appropriate this, we are doing it with wisdom. And I say it's inspired by the Bible and it's interpreted with the Bible. When I read the Bible, yes, I'm not just reading it to recite verses that I remember in a kind of religious way. I'm saying, what does God really mean? What is he trying to do? What is he trying to say? And I hear the people say, yes, well, people have done that over the years and they've abused scripture. But we do this not only personally as a practice, but with each other. This is not Mark's thing on his own. It's with each other. It's with apostolic input. It's with acknowledging what the Holy Spirit's not only doing in us, around the world. There are theologians, and I'll talk about them, that have underpinned this. This is not just waking up with a clever idea. There's safety in doing it together. There's safety in apostolic input. There's safety with seeing what the Spirit is doing and recognizing the times and the seasons. So that this, I believe, we are on the right track. This is absolutely what God is wanting to do with us. And let me say, City Gate, it is incredibly exciting. It is so exciting, and it's so good to be on that prophetic edge of what God's doing. Just, I've spoken about these guys before, but just to highlight them again, that the revelation of the kingdom message, which basically means that it's not just I'm got saved and I'm going to heaven, it's let's bring heaven to earth. This has been hugely underpinned by incredible theologians like N.T. Wright and Derek Morphew. They have helped us from a theological perspective really put massive weight behind what we mean with this kingdom message. And then again, so they've theologically understood it. And then for us, it's to appropriate that through architecture to say, if that's theologically what it means for the kingdom of heaven to come to earth, how does it actually start changing what we do on a daily basis? Which is really what I want to speak about this morning and get very practical. But also prophetically, Ian McKellar, I mean, this is like 20 years ago, saying, look, the way we evangelize the earth, and this is such a, what we want to do is evangelize. And he picked up that if we're going to influence and evangelize the earth, possibly one of the greatest ways to do that is to bring the kingdom of heaven down to earth in what we do. So that people look at us and they say, wow, is this what life is really about? Is this what a redeemed business looks like? Is this what the courts of law could look like? Is this what ministering to the poor could look like? Is this when we start to, you know, get clever with finances and help the poor? And we start to do things inspired by the Spirit, like the Quakers did. They realized that people wanted to connect, but they were connecting around pubs with alcohol. So the Quakers said, well, let's connect around a pub and let's make drinking chocolate. And so they started drinking chocolate together, and Cadbury's was born, a 100-year business. But it was born out of saying, I see there's a problem here, and that the devil's got in and he's facilitating connection through alcohol, but we're going to facilitate connection through drinking chocolate. And yes, now we know sugar's not bad, so we're going to have to drink, I don't know, like health shakes or something now. But the point is, that's not the point. The point is that actually these guys were under the Spirit of God saying, how do we serve people so that we can actually evangelize them? We change the world by redeeming the world as the amazing scripture says this: the creation yearns for the sons of man to be revealed. Why does creation yearn for that? Because creation needs to be redeemed and healed. And as creation is healed, they actually get evangelized. As people are healed by seeing what we do, that Jesus comes in. They're inspired by and attracted by what we're doing, and then Jesus comes and heals them. That's what we're trying to do. And as more and more people get reconciled by Christ to the Father, so the world changes. That's the big plan. And so I'm going to make this super practical now. These are what I'm going to say now are things that I've dreamed of. This doesn't mean that this is going to happen. This, I hope, just inspires something for you to start to also dream about what this could look like on the ground. So I've given you a theological framework, which I'm absolutely sure of. What does this mean now on a day-to-day basis for us as we start appropriating the kingdom of heaven on earth through architecture? The first thing I want to speak about is the Sunday meeting. The Sunday meeting, and these are all missional. The Sunday meeting is a missional meeting. We are fired up this morning because we're on mission this morning, and we, one of our desires is to do the Sunday meeting well so that people are encouraged and invited to come to Sunday meetings. Obviously, we're trying to do this well online at the moment, but as Harold was saying, we're coming back together. And architecture can help us take the Sunday meeting to another level. For example, just even the facilities for children. Children are in many ways people's idols. So we need to then minister to children and help people take care of their children so that they can look and enjoy the Sunday preach. We can have unbelievable children's facilities on all kinds of levels in our building, so that we can minister the gospel on a Sunday. So there's just facilities we could have. We could have jungle gyms, climbing walls. We could do, bobsleds. I don't know. There's many things that we can do that can really help the children be entertained on a Sunday so we can start ministering to their parents. But more than this, one of the things I've been thinking is that we could, if we've got people serving in their gifts at the Citadel, at your venue, and for example, there's some people that like the bakery downstairs, and the bakery could say, on Sundays, we're going to discount our bread, one line of bread, we're going to discount on Sundays just for people that are struggling to afford it. What they could do that. You could potentially discount some of your services and serve the community on a Sunday to invite people then to come on a Sunday. I mean, that's just inviting people to a place where they could hear the gospel. Because on Sundays, what are we doing? We're preaching the gospel. One of the more extravagant ideas that I absolutely love, and I think could be a part of all the Citadels around the world and city, is that we have a radical, scary ride. Okay, so either a roller coaster ride or a one of these things you go on a slide, zip line. A zip line, like a very scary zip line that everyone knows in Durban. Have you ever been on this zip line? Or have you ever been on this roller coaster ride? Or have you ever been on this Ferris wheel that gives you a view of the harbor in Glenwood? On Sundays, it's free. And so again, I mean, half of Durban, you probably maybe might not want to come to church on Sunday. Please don't hear what I'm saying, because now whole of Durban. But I hope you hear my heart. We're starting to then think, how can we start giving back to our community so that we're inviting people into a gospel message? We can have outdoor concerts with picnics on a Sunday. So your Sunday's not just about coming to church and hearing a message. It's a whole day experience where you're on the Ferris wheel, on the roller coaster, having outdoor picnics and getting discounted. Maybe Suki can discount her Indonesian food on a Sunday, because so that we can, enjoy a meal together. That's just some of, please hear me again, these are practical things. Secondly, that fundamental to evangelizing people is that you walk in your gift. And that's why we're so passionate about prophesying and that people would walk in their gift. Because when you walk in your gift, in other words, you believe that actually you've been given a gift, you become attractive. Now, I saw Caroline Gallus come this week to teach my children. I don't think I can have a better example of someone who is so inspired and so full of life. She says, I'm waking up in the morning, Mark, so excited because this is what I've been made to do. And there's some wisdom around that. I'm going to interview Caroline. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail now, but in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to interview Caroline. You need to hear how there's just so much in that will be helpful for us. Tando Nkangana is teaching my children the drums. When Tando is on the drums, he's gifted. And Tando ministers to my children not only through the drums, but by hearing them, listening to them, prophesying of them, speaking them, encouraging them. Yuri Lochenberg has a passion for an elite sports academy. Do you know that we can start helping people as we give them the disciplines of soccer or cricket? In those disciplines, when we bring the government of God into that, we can bring government into their lives through Christ. I dream about having Umbilo United that wins the Premiership League soccer, because we've actually brought the government of God into training people on soccer and football, so that actually we stop playing for yourselves. That's the problem with African football, unfortunately, is we don't know how to pass the ball. And so we say, but actually bring a theological perspective to actually you better when you pass. This is deep stuff. You can start winning soccer tournaments when you actually bring the biblical understanding of teamwork into your soccer team. Athol and Sean Vessels are gifted in art. Imagine having a prophetic, not that we even training and doing skills development with art, but imagine a business where we communicate to the world amazing pictures on T-shirts that actually minister to people in the most covert way, where they look at a picture and that picture tells 1,000 words and it speaks to people where they're at. Christoph running a recording studio with Garth and releasing worship that changes the world. Well done to the worship guys. The worship teams, I mean, are individually and collectively releasing more music. I'm anticipating worship is going to go first. I love that. And we can have our own recording studios doing that. Marguerite developing a youth choir. Christoph, I don't even know if Marguerite loves a choir. But Marguerite, maybe I'm prophesying. But imagine a youth choir, Marguerite, where, I mean, choir, it is the best instrument. And Marguerite then starts to bless us with a youth choir. And I know Caro Gallus is also keen on that. And no doubt there are others. That we are missional in our covert conversations. The Queen of Sheba came to see what was happening because the government of God was being administered on earth by Solomon. When we start to do this, when you see someone in their gift and call, and then when you put a lot of people in their gift and call, that was the door slamming. What happens is that there is a very powerful atmosphere. I remember being in America and being in a meeting where a corporate meeting, that's why we're missing so much meeting together, because there's atmosphere, and just sensing the atmosphere at that revival at Lakeland. And so when we start to work in our gift and call, and you've got lots of people working in their gift and call, there is atmosphere. Atmosphere changes environments. And so what that stimulates is people like the Queen of Sheba coming and saying, please, Christian, tell me, what is it about you and your robotics? What is it about this place? Just like the Queen of Sheba comes, said to Solomon. And then Solomon had an opportunity to explain what it means to administer the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's missionally covertly. And Jesus was covert. So I hope you understand that. Covert means that, thank you, Christian, that actually it's not entirely obvious. And maybe that's why some people are struggling at the moment. They walk into this zone. They say, this is not a church. Well, that's what I mean by covert. It's Jesus was like that. That's why, you know, they didn't get him. That's why they rejected him. I mean, I'm still amazed that Jesus chose Judas, and Jesus wasn't afraid to be rejected. The Lord and Savior, the God with us, was rejected by others who actually didn't believe him. And so there's this amazing covert, and that's when I'm talking covert, that's why covert is important for me, because in what we do, we are inviting, like Jesus is a lover, we're inviting people into the story, even though they don't quite get that, and we just see that. So I'm just laboring that covert point just to say it's a very biblical thing that you see through Scripture, that Jesus spoke in parables because he wants to get to our heart. And so we're not helpful when we Bible bash people and we walk and say, just believe in Jesus, otherwise you're going to die and go to hell. No, let's get really creative and show people what it looks like for the kingdom of heaven down to earth, and then invite that question rather than like just bash people with that question. But we actually invite people because we've got life. Many of you have asked, what about the poor? You know, I want to speak about the overt mission. So the covert mission, what about the overt mission? City Life has been structured specifically as a vehicle for us to minister to the poor effectively. And what, why I, you know, the Citadel, so often in my experience with ministering to the poor, and I've seen this with the Tembelechu, we are desperate always for money. You always need money. You've always got your begging cap out. Please give us more money. I tell you, we are not beggars. We are the head, not the tail. And that's why I've said, when we structure this, we're the gifted businessmen. Not only sacrifice equity in their business, not only conduct business in a way that generates poor. Where are the profits going? They're not going back to that businessman. They're going to City Life. They're going to the poor. We're creating a sustainable way to minister to the poor. And so much of what we want to do is ministry to the poor. So let's talk about some of these things. But first of all, I want, my heart is that our ministry to the poor is sustainable. And also, when I say sustainable, it's not, I sometimes think the way we minister to the poor is throwing our pearls before swine. And please hear me, it's not that the poor are swine. But I'm saying, are we stewarding our resources well to actually affect change with the poor? Or are we just giving, you know, for me to just give money to someone on the street like that, when actually he's there because he just needs his next fix, to be honest, is actually sending that guy straight to the grave. So we've got to ask for the wisdom of Solomon in how to minister to the poor. Part of it is making it sustainable just from a financial perspective so that we can get people who are gifted in the ministry to the poor to actually minister without having to worry about money all the time. But also, it's actually ministering to the poor in a way that puts, that preaches the gospel. In other words, it creates some filter or some way where they are making real decisions for Jesus so that they are not just using their, you know, that they're actually making a decision in the right direction. And if we're just giving money without actually holding them to account on what they're doing, then we're not doing any justice to the gospel. Everyone is in where they are in the current situation they are because of the decisions they make. And I honestly believe this, doesn't matter who you are, when you start to make decisions for Jesus, he'll take you from the gutter, like it says in the Psalms, you were stuck and I came and I rescued you. Psalm 18, I rescued you in that place and I put you on solid ground. Sean's Reed's favorite scripture, like a deer on solid ground, up a mountain, because of the grace of God in us. And so, we got to minister to the poor in that way. And Christoph has done a thesis on that, and there's way more to that. So for someone like Rosie Caldwell, who's called to minister to the ladies of the night, we can put Rosie in a safe place, not only in a community that protects her own heart, but also frees her to do that effectively. We absolutely want to minister to the ladies of the night, and we want to do it in a sustainable way. We want to have a homework club. Melissa Vessels, Anne Youngelson, Paul Crane, Satuli, Ru Rashar, Nola, Maria, all of you are teachers that can not only teach and in your vocation, but you can, with the grace of God and your gift, help us serve the people that don't have anyone helping them with the homework in our homework club. We can facilitate rentals, free rentals for NGOs. We can also, part of the City Life mandate is to help NPOs with their admin. So many people trying to do good work, but the administrative their administrative capacity is limited in all the regulations and the compliance needed to run an NPO. We can help NPOs with that. That's part of the mandate of City Life. We are praying for a primary healthcare clinic. We see in this community that primary healthcare is a problem. Emil and Elise, Melanie, Ziggy and Jabulu, Albert and Jerusha, you are all doctors that can operate in your gift, not only there, but help us create a wellness center that really helps the poor. And more than that, there'll be income to do that. You know, it's all great. We can talk about this, but there's no income. And that's why, please don't get upset now that, anyway, some guys think, well, you all, Mark, all I hear you talk about business. Let me tell you, I'm talking about business to make it sustainable for us to help the poor. That's why I'm talking about it. And right in the middle is discipleship. And what I'm more passionate about is actually discipleship, which means that people are taking, which means that we have got vehicles to give significance and platforms to every single one of your gifts so you can outwork it and actually answer the call to commission the disciples. We can have a sports center for the schools around us, sports and art. We can do skills development. Already, Infilani is set up, owned by Tembelechu, to train skills. Christian is passionate about robotics. Christian and Sam, we're doing the business incubator now to start to create skills. But one of the things I want to say to you guys, We have generations of people in South Africa that are not going to go back to school and they are not going to go to university. And let me just say this. I think people are starting to realize that a university degree doesn't guarantee you any job. So what we've got to start asking ourselves is how can we actually create jobs? And what I'm starting to believe, and I'm passionate about entrepreneurship, is that we've got, for example, restaurants downstairs. We can do, I don't see, but I see it as a trend around the world, this street food market where Suki can come with the street food, but I can then take someone off the street, I can train them for 3 months with a guy downstairs here who's very skillful at making sandwiches, and he can train someone in 3 months to make a great sandwich, put him in the street food market, and in 3 months he's making an income. That's the kind of businesses we need. We don't have time to go back and now study, you know, arithmetic at school. We've got to actually learn on the job, and we've got to start taking that mindset in a completely different way. We've got engineers, maker space. Here's an engineer. Christian is an engineer. Derek is an engineer. Seth is an engineer. Angelique is an engineer. Let's have a maker space where we create product that we can again go and sell at the market within 3 months. This is the stuff. We've got to change the way people are even thinking with business. We're not going to Harvard and all over the place. Maybe one day you can. But right now, we actually need to create jobs in 3 months, not in 3 years. And we better then start thinking differently. This is a church. Why is this missional? Because it's a church planting juggernaut. So please don't ever think when I speak Citadel, City Life, and City Gate as a church, this is all about church planting. The way we're going to change the world is by making disciples. The way we make disciples, as I've spoken, is in small groups, but by giving a lot of people architecture to do this in a sustainable way, to do this in a very influential way, so we put what we do in an architecture that influences the community in a radical way. This skyline behind me is Durban skyline. I sense that we will have different skylines. New York skyline, India, Bangalore skyline, Johannesburg skyline. You change it. You can take this anywhere in the world, whatever city, and you just change the skyline and you're establishing a base camp for the kingdom to come and advance in that city. This is a mission. This, as you can see, is a vision that serves your community around us. I spoke about last week. It's 24/7 prayer time. It's a safe place for people to walk and pray. There's investment opportunities. We've seen how, as land development is done in a skillful way, that actually you increase the value of properties where the land development happens. And I sense that we would do that in Glenwood as we start to minister and administer to the needs of this suburb and Durban and in the rest of the world. We affect the surrounding community in radical ways. And I trust we also inspire those who aren't even in the church to also come and serve. And so that's why we talk to UBF and we connect with the NPOs already serving in Glenwood and encouraging them and saying, how can we help do the work of ministry? Sometimes they don't see it as the work of ministry, but we have the revelation to actually bring these things together because we are peacemakers. We are peacemakers, so we have the ability by the grace of the Spirit to bring people that are trying to do this. Sometimes they don't even have the language to articulate what they're trying to do. We can help them say, let me show you. Let me help you. We are peacemakers and we're not insecure. We can do this together. And lastly, to say this, that the architecture really helps the church facilities. So I've just spoken about, you know, a lot of the different things we can do here, but fundamental is still the church. We can have training rooms. We can have a prayer garden where Diane and Marikin and all of us called to prayer can begin to have a space where we can go and pray 24/7. We can have healing rooms. We can have a ministry. We've already started the ministry school Calibrate, and we've seen what Bethel has done overseas. Why would we not want to do the same now? I sense one of the things here is a prophetic restaurant. Imagine Musa and imagine Calvin. Imagine we have a restaurant where we use even the students who are here who can be waiters in that restaurant and can prophesy over people. So we can have a ministry school. Christoph is passionate about training people, and we've got many others that can train just like Bethel does. We can have a ministry school that is here. We can do a worship school. We can have recording studios. We can have offices, not only for the City Gate elders, but for other churches in the city, that we can have a coffee shop where we all commune together, that we could perhaps have a communal garage with all those things that actually make no sense for one person to own, like boats and surfboards and 4x4s and go-karts and motorbikes and trailers and lawnmowers and sports equipment and specialty tools that other people can't afford. We could actually have a communal garage full of toys and tools that can help. And lastly, we believe in life groups, and we believe that we can have a cooking school there, and maybe your life group can have a season and you're going to learn how to cook, or you're going to have a, or you're going to be in the robotics center for a season, and you can use all these different types of facilities in creative ways to administer the kingdom. I'm sure this morning feels, especially this last 20 minutes, quite all over the place. That's not the point. The point is just for me to spark you right inside, for you to see the absolute diversity of this vision. It's so diverse and so exciting. The point is that we can start creating architecture to administer our skills and gifts in a way that blesses the community. And when we do that together, it has a substantial influence, because where there's unity, God commands a blessing. We've seen this in the Old Testament. We're seeing this even in the happening in the world. But now it's time for us to take this and put it in on steroids. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day. Leaders, we'll see you on Thursday. Keep believing, and God bless you in the mighty name of Jesus.